But today I'm going to be presenting a portion of my dissertation research, specifically the role of mental health and intimate partner violence, IPV, on neonatal outcomes in a sample of low-income women. I need to acknowledge funding for this research from NIMH, NINR, as well as scholarships from Promise of Nursing, Nurse Educational Fund, and Sanofi Aventis. The purpose of this study was to understand the role of IPV and poor mental health on neonatal outcomes among a sample of low-income, predominantly African-American women at increased risk for adverse neonatal outcomes. So the infant mortality rate is more than the discrete number of infant deaths that occur in the first year of life per 1,000 live births. It is a symbolic benchmark of how a nation cares for its future generation, and by this standard, there's two glaring characteristics for the infant mortality rate here in the United States. First, the U.S. ranks quite high compared with other developed nations, with latest estimates ranking us 30th behind countries such as Slovakia and Cuba. Second, an African-American infant has a 2.4-fold greater infant mortality rate than his non-Hispanic white counterpart. So clearly disparities exist in pregnancy outcome that are based on racial or minority status, but the cause of these disparities and therefore the solution is less clear. The Institute of Medicine has placed the economic costs of preterm birth at $26 billion, largely attributed to medical costs from birth through early childhood, delivery costs, early intervention, and lost household workforce productivity for both mothers and fathers. Neonates born preterm or low birth weight account for 47% of all infant costs while comprising only 8% of all admissions. And finally, the mean cost for an infant born preterm or low birth weight is estimated to be 25 times higher than that of a neonate born at average gestational age and average birth weight. So there were three specific aims to this study. Aim one was looking at the influence of maternal mental health and IPV on health practices during pregnancy. Aim two, to analyze the influence of IPV on neonatal outcomes. And aim three was to explore African-American women's perceptions of how mental health and experiencing violence may affect their pregnancy experience as well as the outcomes of their unborn child. So this study employed a prospective longitudinal concurrent mixed methods design. Maternal data was collected via verbally administered instruments when the woman was between 24 and 28 weeks gestation. Upon delivery, an electronic chart review was conducted to assess for any risk factors that might not have been present during that initial time point, such as preeclampsia or gestational diabetes. Neonatal data, specifically birth weight and gestational age, were also collected via electronic chart review within 72 hours of delivery. The qualitative data component consisted of individual, in-depth, semi-structured interviews that, with participants' permissions, were audio-taped. These interviews took place anywhere from immediately after quantitative data collection to within 2 weeks, so within that same 24 to 28-week time period. Results of the quantitative and qualitative were combined at the interpretive level, with the qualitative data providing support for the quantitative data we obtained. So pregnant women were recruited from three urban OBGYN clinics in East Baltimore, which is the area surrounding Johns Hopkins, where I am. Inclusion criteria included English-speaking women aged 16 and older who were between 24 and 28 weeks gestation at the time of data collection. There is no history of fetal or infant death, no use of tocolytic therapy during the current pregnancy, no known chronic medical conditions such as hypertension or diabetes, and an absence of an abnormal diagnostic result obtained either through serum or ultrasound screening. And these last four criteria were assigned largely because of their known influence on neonatal outcomes. So for the first two study aims, a convenience sample of 166 pregnant women and their neonates were included to achieve adequate power to examine the relationships of interest. And then for my third aim, my qualitative aim, using criterion sampling to represent a range of demographics as well as varying mental health scores, a purposeful subsample of 12 African American women participated, and this number did reflect data saturation. So I'll move quickly through the next two slides on the instruments used, but certainly can entertain questions. For health practices, I used Lindgren's Health Practices and Pregnancy Questionnaire. Areas assessed with this measure include rest and exercise, safety measures, substance use, obtaining health care, and obtaining health information. The social support subscale from Curry's prenatal psychosocial profile was used to assess the woman's satisfaction with her level of social support, largely from the partner. I also used the Edinburgh Depression Scale to measure depressive symptomatology, and this asked about the previous 2 weeks. The Davidson Trauma Scale was used to measure PTSD symptomatology, and finally I used the Abuse Assessment Screen to assess for intimate partner violence. So neonatal outcomes were dichotomized as either adverse or not adverse. A neonate was classified as having an adverse outcome if there was the presence of small for gestational age, which is reaching less than the 10th percentile birth weight adjusted for gestational age, low birth weight, which is less than 2,500 grams, or prematurity, which is less than 37 weeks completed gestation. So quantitative data analysis included the construct of a latent variable, which we termed mental health. As expected, my measures of social support, depression, and PTSD were all highly correlated, with all bivariate correlations being 0.78 and higher. So I performed principal component factor analysis, and one factor was derived, as it explained, 84% of the variance. Linear regressions for my proximal outcome of health practices, which was a continuous measure, and logistic for my dichotomized neonatal outcomes. Qualitative analysis was performed with the use of in vivo, and conventional content analysis was used with the data. So as demonstrated here, my sample was predominantly poor, unmarried African-American women reporting low educational attainment. Additionally, approximately two-thirds of the sample reported that they had at least one child at home, with the remaining one-third reporting that this was their first pregnancy. With regards to the mental health indicators, the means of the instruments are reported here for the entire sample. It's important for me to point out that 19% of the sample reported current physical abuse during their current pregnancy. Additionally, 59% exceeded the cutoff score, and I used the same cutoff score you did of greater than 12 on the Edinburgh, so 59%, and nearly half for PTSD. And then I looked at mental health indicators separated by IPV status. So it's important for me to note that 97% of women who are experiencing IPV during their current pregnancy exceeded the cutoff score of greater than 12 on the Edinburgh, and 87% for PTSD. Perhaps even more alarming is that 65% of those women reporting IPV had a positive response to number 10 on the Edinburgh, which is the thought of harming myself has occurred to me in the last 2 weeks. So 65%. While adverse outcomes were classified as adverse in the presence of SGA, low birth weight, or preterm, I wanted to understand what the specific breakdown was looking like. So overall, you can see 41% of study neonates had an adverse outcome, with the specifics outlined here. I realize for those of you who are familiar with this, these are not typically mutually exclusive groups, but I made them mutually exclusive to help with better understanding what some of the issues are. Overall, just over 20% of the sample delivered a neonate defined as low birth weight, which, as you recall, is less than 2,500 grams. So while 41% of study neonates were classified as having an adverse outcome of low birth weight, prematurity, or SGA, this slide demonstrates the percentage of neonates falling into each category based on the IPV status of their mother. So you can see overall just over 78% of neonates born to a woman who reported IPV during her pregnancy had an adverse outcome, with the specifics outlined here. And with the exception of prematurity, these are all statistically significant differences. So this slide demonstrates the results of the linear regression examining health practices, or the relationship between IPV, mental health, and health practices. So as evident in Model 1, experiencing IPV was associated with a significantly lower score on health practices. Similar results were obtained when I added mental health to the model, and the variance explained by this model, which did control for income, relationship status, and pregnancy wantedness, was just over 64%. This slide demonstrates the results of logistic regression looking at IPV, health practices, and neonatal outcomes. So as evident, experiencing IPV was associated with significantly increased odds of having a neonate classified as having an adverse outcome. Similar results were obtained when examining health practices in the model, and then Model 3 demonstrates the mediating role of health practices. So the qualitative aim revealed five major themes or categories, and in the interest of time, I won't be reading all the exemplars to you, but they're provided. Hopefully there are handouts. So protection emerged as an important element of pregnancy, particularly for those women experiencing IPV. So six of my qualitative participants were being actively abused during their pregnancy, and each one of them individually brought up this notion of protection, with one woman stating, "Now that I'm pregnant, I just take the insults and walk away, and I'm better at walking away before it gets bad." While not specifically asked about during the quantitative portion, each one of the qualitative participants reporting IPV discussed how they felt the abuse was contributing to the unborn child's growth and development, with one woman stating, "I worry because he's measuring small, I'm too stressed out to eat, I worry he'll have to stay in the hospital." And women spoke very openly about how their mood state influenced the pregnancy, with one woman stating, "My previous relationship was 100 times better than this. I do remember having a smile on my face. I love this baby here, but there ain't no smiling." The fourth category included the notion of isolation. Those women who did not feel that their partner was supportive of them or of the pregnancy in general described isolation as contributing to more poor mental health, with one woman stating, "I think the relationship," and she was speaking about the relationship with her unborn child, "is poor when you don't have anyone to help you through the pregnancy. How could you be happy when you're going along all by yourself?" And finally, women discussed what made pregnancy in general a more enjoyable experience. And again, social support, you know, as in your presentation, appeared to be critical, with one woman saying, "The bond was better when I had good support. I knew they was coming into a world where they were wanted, and I don't feel that way with this one." In summary, this study found a high prevalence of depression, PTSD, and IPV during pregnancy, placing these women and their neonates at heightened risk for an adverse neonatal outcome. Importantly, there was a very high prevalence of adverse outcomes, with over 40% of study neonates classified as SGA, preterm, and or low birth weight, and over 20% classified as low birth weight. And I think this is particularly concerning, that given that these women did not have some of the well-established risk factors for having an adverse outcome. Finally, quantitative and qualitative data showed how women perceived poor mental health and IPV influencing neonatal outcomes. Because of time constraints, I wasn't able to report on all my qualitative data, but many of the women, particularly those reporting abuse during pregnancy, made direct links between IPV, health practices, and neonatal outcomes, particularly around the areas of sleep, missing appointments, nutrition, and substance use. The major limitations of this study were that maternal measures were collected via self-report in a cross-sectional manner, precluding our ability to infer causality. Also, this sample was a convenient sample, limiting the generalizability of the results. The major strengths of this study include that it examined how IPV and mental health may influence health practices and, more importantly, neonatal outcomes. Subjective and objective measures were used and longitudinal data gathered, improving the validity of the study findings. This study was conducted among a sample of women at very high risk for health disparities, which is essential if we're going to make progress towards eliminating health disparities. And finally, I think the mixed methods approach allowed a greater depth and understanding of how mental health and IPV related to neonatal outcomes in this really highly vulnerable sample of women. So we must ensure an early identification of poor mental health and experiences of violence, so that prenatal care and education can be tailored and individualized to best support the women in achieving both a physically as well as psychologically sound pregnancy. This study identified social support as one critical area to intervene on. An enhanced assessment of health practices is necessary, as women may not discuss the types of food they are eating, how they are coping with stress, whether it be over or under eating, substance use, or other maladaptive coping mechanisms. Finally, from both a nursing and a public health perspective, there's a need for an expansion of current interventions to improve maternal and infant health outcomes. Programs such as the Nurse Family Partnership aim to improve maternal health, child health, and parental life course. With demonstrated benefits in all of these areas, an expansion of such a type of program to include those women not parenting for the first time is critical. Thank you.